Now, if you're a fan of Donna Leon's crime novels starring Commissario Brunetti, you'll know he's not the kind of cop who survives on bourbon and burgers. He interviews suspects over dainty and delicious bar snacks.
Vianello ordered a plate of artichoke hearts and bottoms, some fried olives, shrimp and calamari, explaining, "It's for all of us." He also asked for an artichoke and ham tramezzino and a shrimp and tomato. Penzo chose brisaola and rucola, speck and gorgonzola, and speck and mushroom. They all chose Pinot Grigio and large glasses of mineral water. They carried the glasses and plates to the small counter behind them, set them out, and handed round the sandwiches. When each had eaten his first tramezzino, Vianello raised his glass. The others joined him. Penzo stuck a toothpick into one of the fried olives, bit off half of it, and asked, "What client is it you want to ask me about?" Before Brunetti could answer, a man passing by patted Penzo on the back and said, "They feeding you or arresting you, Renato?"
Well, he also manages to find time to go home for lunch with his family, where he gets exquisite Venetian food. So Donna Leon and her friend Roberta Pianaro have made a cookbook, A Taste of Venice, at table with Brunetti. Donna, how strict are Venetians about what you eat and when you eat it?
I don't think strict is a word that you can use about Italians' attitude towards food. They eat something for breakfast, a brioche and a coffee. Lunch is very often, now because of work habits changing, it's lighter. They might go out and have a pasta or a risotto. And many people have started to eat more in the evening simply because of the demands of time and work. But they pretty much allow people to eat what they want. They have ideas about what they think is right and what they think is good, but they're not food Taliban.
You do bemoan in one of the essays in the book the loss of food shops in Venice. What happened?
I think what it can be seen in the demographics that more and more non-Venetians are coming into the city to live or to spend a week. And each time that happens, a Venetian family that cooks two meals a day is gone. And as the kind of person who's shopping in the city changes, fewer and fewer people had need to buy food, and more people want to buy masks. So it becomes increasingly difficult to find a place to buy cheese, to find a place that sells good vegetables, good fruit. And the farther you live from Rialto, the more difficult this is. There's also the added problem of the aging population. I can walk to Rialto in 10 or 15 minutes, but someone who's 85 and lives down in Castello, she can't get to Rialto anymore. So things really do change, I think, for the worse.
Now, you spoke to a local fisherman for the book.
Capitano Alberto.
What did you learn from Capitano Alberto?
I learned from Capitano Alberto that it doesn't matter what fish you eat as long as it is fresh. And in his case, he will eat it if he knows who caught it and where and when. And he spent a great deal of time showing me how you can tell if a fish is fresh or not. You look at the eye, you look at the scales. When you cut it open, you look at the innards. It was fascinating. We spent a couple of days together talking about fish.
Now, the recipes are by your friend Roberta. How much does she provide the inspiration for the meals in the books?
I am spoiled by the fact that I've known Roberta and her husband Franco for 40 years, and I have been eating at their table for 40 years, first as a friend and now as a member of the family. Both of them have the equivalent of perfect pitch for food. So in all of these years, I've never had a bad meal. I don't know how they do it. It's genetic, perhaps. It's inherited because they're both Venetian for hundreds of years. They grew up eating very, very well. They grew up amidst endless conversations about food, how to prepare it, how to serve it, what's good with this, what's good with that. And so when I asked Roberta if she would write the cookbook, the recipes for the cookbook, she said, after some convincing, that she would gladly do it. But it became difficult for her because she's a cook who says, if you ask her how you cook it, she says, well, you put some olive oil in a pan. You cut up the onions small and you heat them with a little bit of salt until they're done. Now, you can't write a recipe book that way because that's such a variable. You throw in a little bit of this and a pinch of that. She was flummoxed by the need to measure a pinch or to figure out how much a little bit weighs. But she spent weeks doing each recipe and I think has it down pat.
Why were you so keen to make the food so much a feature of the novels? Because when you read it, you think...
Time for lunch.
How does he find time to solve the crimes when it's time for lunch?
I think part of it, if I had a map of Europe, I could spot where questions about this in the books come from. The Spanish never ask, and the Italians who read the books in other languages never ask either. The farther north one goes, the greater is the curiosity, because the farther one moves away from the casual assumption, which is Mediterranean, that one eats very well twice a day. When I started to write a book in which the home life of our own dear commissario would be examined, I had to write it this way because this is the way the Italians, the Venetians that I know, live and eat. To have done otherwise would be dishonest.
Now, his favourite food is penne rigate.
Mm-hmm.
How does Roberta cook it?
Well, it depends what sauce is going on it. Penne is good with something that's chunky. But you can also use it with something that's morbido, liquido, like tomato sauce with some sort of vegetable in it. This is a gift that Italians have that I admit that I don't have. I don't know intuitively which pasta goes with which sauce. I know that you use conchiglie for broccoli pasta because you can hook up the sauce in the concavity of the pasta. But I usually use spaghettini. She just knows. She was born knowing because her grandmother knew. It's in her DNA.
But risotto is, I understand, your favorite meal.
Risotto di zucca, risotto di asparagi. It's asparagus season when I go home.
And what makes her risotto so great?
That I shouldn't say this because it sounds counter to the book, because she just knows how to do it. She just knows what proportion of this and that to put in it and what spice to add. In fact, I've been terribly spoiled by them over the years because they ask me what I'd like to have for dinner. So it's like calling ahead to the restaurant and I'll say, could we have asparagi di carciofi? And they'll say something like, well, you had that three times this week. I know, but I love it and they're in season, please, please. And they'll cook it again.
Have you tried cooking any of these recipes yourself?
No, I've cooked them all. I've cooked them all myself. Because I had to see if someone who cooks ordinarily, because I do cook, although I don't consider myself a particularly good cook, I'm a passable cook, I wanted to see if someone reading the recipes and following the recipes and blocking out all I knew about Biba could follow the recipes. And I could.
So you're as good a cook as she is?
No. Would that were true, please.
Donna Leon, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.